Hey girls, you've tuned in to Braveheart Talks. We're so glad that you've tuned into the podcast today. However you're listening, whether you're watching or listening on the radio, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, come and join in with this conversation. But before we get going, I want you to know that Braveheart Conference has launched its brand new website. If you haven't been over, braveheartconference.co.uk, go and check it out. You'll see the speakers coming up. You'll see all the information, everything you need to know for conference, which is coming up super, super soon. You'll be able to find on the website. And we've also got a come on your own group. So if you are planning to come to conference and you haven't got anyone yet to come with, do not fret. Go onto the website. You'll be able to find the link on come on your own. And we will link you up with a group of amazing girls and you're going to have the best time ever. So head on over to the website, girls. But today, Emma, we are going to have a great conversation.
Yes, we are.
I'm excited. We are just in a series at the moment in church called Uncommon. Mm. It's been a great series. I love it. And the last one you spoke on was Uncommon Thinking and the Way We Think.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive in.
We just did this just this last Sunday, but it was such good feedback that, you know, it's a great conversation to pitch.
Yeah. And I like to pick your brains after you message them because there's so much more we can get from your messages. But there's one thing you started off with saying. You said how we should think about what we are thinking about. And it was such a simple comment, but I was like, that's so interesting. Like, do I actually think about what I'm thinking about? So talk to us about that. Like, how do we actually get better at doing that? Because we live so fast paced that we don't often reflect on even the thoughts that come into our minds. Mm.
You know, it was such a flippant comment, like you said, but it's so valuable and it can sound so mechanic as well. It can sound so, how do you stop to think about what you're thinking about?
Yeah.
The word think in that context, it's talking about what you dwell on, what you give time and attention to thinking about. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think we fully understand that we don't have to think about everything that pops into our mind.
Absolutely.
And so there are some thoughts that really do take us down wrong channels. You know, your thoughts will lead you astray. Your thoughts can take you to dark places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take you to places you don't want to be going, that you shouldn't have to navigate. And I made mention how our lives are the sum total of our thoughts. And really that is so true. Your life will only go in the direction that your thoughts go in. Mm. And so there's sometimes that you've got to think, why am I thinking about that? Yeah. And it could be about a situation. It could be about a person. It could be about yourself. You know, if you're critical about yourself, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why am I so critical of myself? And it'll be one or two reasons. It will either be because of something that was said to you years ago or in your childhood when you were growing up. It's a seed that's been planted, or it's because you're comparing yourself to somebody else. Yeah. And so you find the negative and you find the critical. But if that's what the narrative you tell yourself, you'll never see yourself better than that. Why am I thinking about that person? Mm. Was it because somebody else told me something about that person and now I'm thinking that way about them? Because if it was, how do I know what they told me was truth? Because the Bible says that we're to think upon things that are true and right.
Yeah.
And so we have to consider, I've had thoughts come into my mind, usually just before I sleep at night. And then I've had to say to myself, oh, do you know what? I am not going to think about that. I'm not going to give any time and any attention. And I literally make the switch in my mind. Mm. Like, I'm not giving any time over to thinking about that.
Yeah. And I love that. And you need some quiet spaces in your day, just little points throughout the day where you're going to spend just a few minutes, like you said, reflect on like, okay, why was I thinking that today? Or like, I thought way too much about that today. And I think, you know, there's common ways to think. Like, we don't all think the same.
No.
But I think, you know, especially before you're a Christ follower, when you're in the world, we all do have similar patterns of thoughts and the way we think what's right and what's wrong. Yeah. And so talk about some of maybe the common way people think, just some different areas of natural ways we think and why we as Christ followers should actually avoid following what's common.
Yeah. So when I was a child, you know, TV was the TV. We had basic channels. We had BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, Channel 4, and then Channel 5 came out. That was TV. We didn't have Sky, Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know, and all of the extras, BBC iPlayer, and all of the options that we have today. So today we can choose what we want to watch. We can go, I really feel like watching a movie. I want to watch a movie. But back then you would put the telly on and the TV was just like, it was mind numbing.
Yeah.
It just rolled.
Yeah.
And you just had to watch whatever was on. And you would,
mm-hmm.
all of the adverts as well. You would watch all of the adverts. We all knew the adverts. And we would just watch the soaps one after the other, after the other. You would just watch the news. You would watch anything and everything that was on TV because there wasn't the options. Do you know, we treat our minds in exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. Some of us are still in that way of thinking
wow.
where we just think because we're thinking it must be right.
Yeah, it's so
and
true.
So we allow ourselves to absorb in whatever thoughts come to our mind. You cannot help what pops into your mind, by the way. Your mind is getting fed all day, every day through different conversations. You can see things. You could see a sign on a bus as the bus drives by and it starts you thinking about something. There's food adverts and you see people in the street and just negotiating life every single day. It's feeding your mind. You're going to have a plethora of thoughts that pop into your mind. Mm. But what you dwell on is your choice.
That's very true.
And you get to choose. And so we have to put that discipline in of just because I had that thought,
mm-hmm.
if it's not edifying, if it's not uplifting, if yeah. it's not helping me to become a better person, if it's not progressing me in some way, I'm not going to give it a headspace because I don't know about you, Meg, but I'm fighting for head in my space in my head, like most days. And I don't want to give over. You know, when you worry, when you're fearful, when you're worrying, it's about something that has not yet happened because that's what worry is. Worry is what we have fabricated in our mind that we presume a thing's going to be. And worry is such a time waster because I have sat and worried. And hours have passed by.
Absolutely.
Can't get those hours back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time is gone.
Yeah.
And so we have to consider, why am I thinking, if I'm going to start thinking negatively or critically about another person, that's just not going to be no good.
Yeah.
Even if they were the worst person on the earth, why do I need to give headspace to thinking about how wrong they are or how bad they are or what they did to me and what they said to me?
Yeah.
Don't give that any time because all of your negativity does not affect that person. It only ever affects you. So you have to filter what comes into your mind and you have to decide whether it's worthy of your time or not.
Yeah, I think that's so wise. And I love that because sometimes you can beat yourself up for a thought that's come into your mind. You're like, we shouldn't be thinking that. But then it's like, okay, it's going to come in, but it's whether you linger on it, it's whether you dwell on it, or whether it's where you push it out. And that kind of leads me onto the next bit, because as Christ followers or girls who maybe are new to faith, it's going to take time for your thoughts to start reprogramming and thinking a different way. Because I do think, you know, at, you know, 10 years on in the faith for me, like the way I think now is so different to when I was at first, you know, first saved. So how do girls start that journey of actually reprogramming just the way they think so they don't keep going back to their old thoughts and distractive thoughts? And
it's a great question because the truth is we are all the sum total of the thoughts we've accumulated over the years.
Absolutely.
So my life, your life, the next person's life, the way we think, the way we operate, our character, your mindset. The word mindset means the way you've set your mind to think. And that's your mindset.
Yeah.
And that mindset controls your emotions and your beliefs, and it helps you make decisions. It's how you respond to anger or pressure or opportunity. It's all to do with your mindset. It's all to do with the way you've set your mind to think. And I just think if you think of the mind, well, the mind is like the ultimate computer.
Yeah.
You know, it's the ultimate computerized program. But in the same way that you can do a hard refresh on a Mac, on a computer, you can hard refresh in your mind as well. And that means I'm going to close everything down, every like window or every app that is open, I'm going to shut everything down and start again. And that's why scripture tells us that when you get saved, you become a brand, you know, you're a new creation, a brand new man. All things have passed away and all things have become new, which is fabulous. But the old doesn't just disappear. You renew by putting new information in place. You can't forget everything you know. You know it. You can't forget it.
Yeah.
But you can replace your old thoughts with new thoughts.
Yeah.
And you do that through the word of God, literally.
Absolutely.
And it teaches us in the word of God just how we should think. Let me take you to this. And I know we've quoted this on podcasts before, but honestly think it's one of my favorite scriptures, because I actually think it's like a driving force of your life. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever is true. So if it's not truth, don't think on
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to, the first, when I'm having conversations and somebody tells me something and I feel a little bit on the inside, I'm going to question, is that the truth? And if I don't know it to be truth, you're not having my headspace.
Yeah.
Whatsoever things are noble and right, is it right? Is what you're telling me right? Because I don't want to give headspace to wrong information.
Absolutely.
I want right thoughts in my mind. Is it lovely? What a great word. Is it just lovely?
Yeah.
Is it just...
We need to think on them more.
Is it just good to dwell on that? Is it admirable? Or is it, you know, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy? You should think on such things. What a great scripture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what? It's... And I have really been mindful of this, even in the last 12 months of my life. I feel like, you know, I fight a lot of battles. I fight battles like we all do for our family, for our friendships. We fight battles, but I fight battles in the church as well, because we're always trying to fix what's not working.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me that we don't spend very much time talking about what is praiseworthy.
It's true.
What is great. So our natural as human beings is to default and find fault in it, when actually... The word of God says, no, talk about the praiseworthy things first. So, you know, now when we have meetings, we have staff meetings, we have team meetings, and Luke and I will always say, give us some wins. Yeah. Tell us where we're winning.
Yeah.
Because the first thing we should think about is things that are praiseworthy.
And it's reprogramming, like you said, like what we think. And, you know, I do this a lot with, you know, if I have people around for dinner, like I'll always go around and we'll do like encouragement for each other, because it's not natural that.
No.
And that's what it is. Sometimes you force yourself to do something that's not natural. It's so normal, especially like couples, right? It's so easy to moan about your partner and be like, oh, he's doing this, and you can all have a laugh. And yes, that's fun. When's the last time you've gone with a group and actually said, hey, he's great this way and I love him this way? It's different way of thinking. It's a different way of doing life. And it's, like you said, it's reprogramming it, and God helps you with it, but it's got to take some intentionality. So every morning it's like, you know, pick up your word, have that one scripture for that day that's going to help you think different.
Yes.
Pray about it. Yeah. Pray, God, help my thoughts today. Help me be aware of my thoughts today. Help me reprogram my thoughts today to think on what you know, things from you.
So true. So true.
So Emma, in your message, you talked a lot and you moved on to like the promises of God and how so many people can know God, love God, walk the journey, but never access all his promises for them.
Mm.
So why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's interesting to me how so many people can live as a Christian and know the things of God, but not really access the things of God. Mm. And there is a difference between knowing and accessing. And this is such a key thing in life. You know, it's different to you knowing about something. When you book the holiday, you know all about the holiday. You do the research. You've gone online or you've gone to the estate agents and you've done your research and you know what to expect when you get there. And you can get so excited at the expectation. In the expectancy of, and you talk, and sometimes we're so excited about it, but it would be no good if you never got on the plane and went there and started to live out and feel the hot sunshine and the sand between your toes. And
you've given an example as well, Emma, recently, and I love this example. I always remember, you always say, like, think of a mobile phone, like how much things you can do on this phone. It's incredible. But put this in the wrong hand of someone who knows it's a phone, but don't know how to access it. Like, you know, an 80-year-old woman, they'll be looking at it saying, well, I don't know what to do with it. And it's pointless. You can't access all its goodness unless you know how to. So
yeah, that's so true. And so you've got to be able to access it. I could, you know, you can give a 10-year-old the keys to the car and they can sit in the car and imagine, but they don't know how to make the thing work. And so this is what it's like in God. And some of us, we give up at the point of excitement. We just get so excited about what God's promised to our lives and what God has said he's going to do to our lives. But to access it, it takes effort. So, you know, to access the difference between sitting in the car and being able to drive the car is you've got to go through a driving lesson and you've got to pass a series of tests in order to access it. It's not really any different in the kingdom of God, right? There are things that we are going to have to do physically, spiritually, emotionally do in order to access the kingdom of God. The scripture tells us that the kingdom of God is taken by force. It doesn't come to the passive. Wow. It doesn't come to the complacent. And you can know all the scriptures that there are to know about God, and you can know all about the promises of God, but you can live and die and never access them. And God wants you to have heaven here on earth. He wants you to live a blessed life, but that blessed life is going to take something of you to be able to, you know, fight for that marriage or fight for those children.
Yeah.
It's going to take something from you in order to access the things that have been assigned to you.
Absolutely. And that links me on well to this next question, because in your message, you brought us to a story in Numbers 13. And it was in essence talking about what stopped these individuals from accessing God's promise to them. And you linked it so well to their minds and their thoughts. And I never would have got that from the scripture. So talk us through that scripture and some of the key things that God showed you through Numbers 13.
How many stories can you learn from the children of Israel just doing that journey out of Exodus and out of Egypt, and across the wilderness before they get to the promised land? And, you know, we looked at this scripture where they get to the promised land, and what we see in there is that they were there. They were outside of the city walls. They were about to go in. There would have been such excitement in the atmosphere. 40 years of wilderness walking, 40 years. Now they're ready for the promises of God. And it tells us this story about how Moses sent spies into the land. In the book of Exodus, it tells us about Moses sending spies into the land, 12 of them to go in. And they came back after being there for a number of weeks, 10 of them with a negative report, but 2 of them had a positive report. But the 10 with the negative report influenced the whole nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And this is what they said in Numbers 13. They said, we saw giants there, because here's the thing, the promised land was theirs. God had already said, it's yours. Mm-hmm. So when they went in to spy the land, everything that God said would be there was there, and it made them excited. Okay, the grapes were huge. But there was also something there that God had not told them would be there, and that was giants. And they were not expecting the giants to be there. And because now they met this unexpected opposition, which stood between them and their promise, okay, they began to doubt that they'd heard God right. And I just thought, how many of us do that?
Absolutely.
How many of us like get to our promised land experience, whatever that is? Maybe for you, it's a health report. Maybe for you, your promised land is a marriage. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's something God's going to do in your children. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a house move. Maybe it's just having a peace in your understanding. Whatever that promised land is for you, that when we meet an opposition, we think it's the devil.
Yeah.
We're like phoning everybody up. Can you just start praying? And because I just think the enemy is here in my house, because he's stopping me from what God said would be for me. But it isn't the enemy that's stopping you. There are giants in your way, but God wants to remind you that you are on the winning team.
Absolutely.
That you already have authority over the giants, but you're still going to have to face them and you're still going to have to fight. Mm. And that's going to be through our lifetime. Well, when the 10 came back with a negative report, they said, this just listen to this scripture. This is just brilliant. We saw giants there, the descendants of Anak, and next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. And that just makes me laugh. Yeah. Because how do you know what somebody else is thinking about you?
We do that all the time.
You don't. But you fabricate something up. So the fact was there was giants in the land, but they fabricated in their mind that they were grasshoppers.
Yeah.
And that fabrication made a whole generation walk away from the promised land and go back to wilderness living.
Wow.
And going back to wilderness living is just going back to mind-numbing, everyday, wandering around aimlessly type of living. How many of us don't access the promises of God? So they'd been 40 years knowing what God had for them, knowing there was a promise, knowing they were on a journey somewhere. And when they got there, the giant was too big, you know, and you've probably heard it said before, but the mistake they made was they compared the size of themselves to the size of the giant when they should have compared the size of the giant to the size of their God.
Yeah.
Because there is no, the scripture tells us that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Every giant, every sickness, every disease, everything will bow to the name of Jesus.
Mm.
And we can so easily forget that. So we come up against an opposition and it keeps us out of our promise when actually God is in heaven shouting, fight, fight, fight for what I've given you.
Mm-hmm.
I've already said it's yours. You know, if somebody came into your home and took something that was yours, I would like to think you would put up a fight to keep hold of it. You're like, you can't just take that. It's mine.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to me. You know, the enemy does that to us all the time, robs you peace. Wants to rob your victory, wants to rob your reassurance, wants to rob your confidence. And we have got to fight that giant and take hold of the promises that God has given to us.
And what do you think? Do you think there's a purpose behind giants? Like, you know, sometimes we just want to live a life that's like, I just don't want any more giants in my life. But like, what's the, because there is purpose, but explain some of the girls who are thinking.
So, we live in the world, but we're not of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't escape the fact that we live in the world. And this world is full of uncertainty. And this world is full of things that will blindside us and take the wind out of our sails. It's the unexpected problems. It's the hiccups in life. It's the child going wayward. It's the, you know, the husband walked out on me. It's the unexpected ill health report. It's the redundancy. It's like, this is the world we live in. And just because you're a Christian does not, negate you from going through these experiences of life.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, they are the giants.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are giants in the land and we have to dwell in the land. But the word of God says, I've given you authority over the giants. So you need to slay some of these giants. And how do we do that? Well, we do that in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We do that by reminding God of his word. But you said in your word, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And anything that tries to come against me will be condemned in the name of the Lord. And so we have to fight using God's word.
Yeah.
And so I think the purpose of the giants really is to show us and the people around us that you have a different walk in this world when you walk with Christ.
Yeah.
God said, when you are weak, I am strong. But if we never had moments of weakness, we would never see his strength.
Mm.
So every time we face a giant, it's a moment of weakness. So I'm going to pull on his strength and I'm going to take that sucker down because the giant can't stop me. Here was the really interesting thing when I was doing that message that God had told them the land would be flow with milk and honey, but he didn't tell them that there would be giants in the land. Mm. And I don't think he told them because he just didn't want to magnify anything that was unnecessary, magnify anything that was of no, like if the giants were an issue, he would have told them and he didn't tell them because there is no giant that's an issue to God.
Yeah.
God says, you're the hands and the feet on the earth, so fight the thing that's in front of you, but you draw on my power and my strength, and you know it's a fixed fight.
Yeah. So, because that's a common way to think, isn't it? To magnify the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like ever in the world, it's just all you hear when you turn on the news is problems, 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 magnifying them. It's people almost sometimes, I think people sometimes like the thrill of problems because they just go on about them so often and they like, you know, if there's something that happens, everyone goes on about it. You know, I'm a teacher, so in the staff room, you get it all the time. It's like one little thing happens and everyone just starts raising up to this this big problem that's going to take place. And so often these problems, some of them, like you said, they're in our minds, they don't actually come to pass. You know, I say to my husband a lot, he comes to me and he'll give me a problem. I'm like, okay, what's the solution? Like, don't tell me the problem if we got, you know, he sometimes foresees something that hasn't, like we have not even encountered this yet. Like this could be a problem in the future, but let's not go there. Emma, during the service, you did mention a personal story for you. And I'd love you to share it with the girls about, you know, God gave you a promise, a vision to plant a church, but he didn't tell you the giants that were going to come. No. So share with the girls some of them experiences that you went through.
Yeah. You know, the children of Israel, I think if God had told them those giants in the land, they would never have even gone in.
It's true.
And so what happened to them, just to cap that story off, is a whole nation walked away. They went back to ordinary everyday living. So they spent all their life knowing about God, but there was two that was different. It was Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit and they said, let us go now and take the land. And I think they were saying, we've been 40 years wandering around the wilderness, knowing what God has for us. Like, but I want it now. I'm done knowing about it. I want to access it now. I want to live in the blessing now. Yeah. I want to see the fulfillment of God now. And those two, that a whole generation died in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. And they went back 5 years later and took in the next generation. But for me personally, when Luke and I were planting the church, you know, for a couple of years leading up to that point, we would pray about it and seek wisdom and counsel. And every scripture that I read was about going and take the land that I, the Lord, have given you. And in fact, in Luke's office, we've got a picture. It's a skyline of Liverpool. And it's got that quote from Isaiah over the top of the picture. And it's like, you know, go and possess the land that I have given to you. And the land of your forefathers. And so Luke and I's whole history have been in and around Liverpool. So we had plenty of forefathers who've been here before us. And now we're here taking the ground ourselves. And it's exciting when God has a promise. You know, it might be your marriage and we're going to get married and it's all the excitement leading up to the wedding, or it's the being pregnant and you're decorating the baby's room and it's all ideal in your mind. The truth of the matter is we don't know what giants we're going to have to face in our future. You don't know, you know, when you are nursing that baby in your belly, you don't know over the next 20 years of the baby's life what giants you're going to have to face raising that child. And so for me personally, I didn't know that we were going to have to face the giant of financial difficulty like we did when we had three small children and we literally sold everything to get the church going. And it, you know, it was a giant.
Yeah.
And I think if I'd given into that giant, I would have got depressed. I think if I'd given into that giant, our marriage could have fallen apart. You know, I didn't know the giant of criticism would be as big as he is. And he keeps rearing his ugly head and I keep taking him down. And then another one spawns and seems to pop up. And so, but you have to keep fighting that all the time because that giant has no place in this vision and this purpose that God has set before us. It is a promised land. It is what God said. And so we keep on going and we don't pay too much attention to the giant, but we will take it down.
Mm.
And we do that in prayer and we do that in spiritual warfare when we're praying to God and asking him for his protection. And you know, the biggest giant I had to face was, I didn't know there'd be a giant of cancer in the journey of, you know, planting a church. So now you're trying to plant a very young church where the people are excited about the future. You've got a young family that you're trying to raise. You're trying to hang on to each other as a couple because you really, everything that you recognized and everything your identity was in is gone. And then you get a cancer diagnosis in the middle of all of that as well. And we still have to take the giant down.
Yeah.
And, you know, that looked like a lot of prayer and a lot of scripture, but it was me still turning up and doing my best. So I was not going to miss a Sunday in church. Doesn't matter how sick I got. If I could get there, I would be there. It meant that I was, you know, quoting my scripture and making declarations and I had to take that sucker down and praise God.
Yeah.
I leant on his strength and his strength defeated that giant in my life. But new giants and fresh giants and different size giants come along all of the time. But this is part of life. So you can either curl up in a ball and lick your wounds from every hit you've taken from every giant, or you can stand up under the strength of God Almighty and fight for what he's already said is yours.
I love that, Em. And I think, you know, you spoke a lot there about fighting the giants and not running away. And I think, you know, you mentioned prayer, the word of God. And I think for girls maybe who are new to faith, I think community, you know, get yourself in a local church, plant yourself and you will flourish. And find women who to start with can guide you in that fight. I think to start with, if you don't know how to fight, you need a bit of training.
Yeah, exactly.
So once you've been trained, like I know you're a big advocate for like saying to girls, you know, I can pray for you, but it's better when you can go away and pray on your own. And you can declare warfare and you can pray for these things. So
that, it was I my think, whole heart and reason to start in Braveheart, Meg.
Yeah.
The literally the strap line that I got, Braveheart came because it's an image of a woman going to war.
Yeah.
And the word that the Lord gave me was teach the women how to fight for the life that is rightfully theirs. Yeah. There's a life that is for you. It's rightfully yours in God. He's given you a blessed life. But the enemy, the giants of the land, want to keep taking that and sabotaging it from you. And honestly, that's my, if you could cut me open and see the heart that beats behind wanting you to be at conference and in that room, it is all for that reason.
Absolutely. And you ended your message and you kind of said how, you know what, guys, like, I've done my assignment. Like, I have taught you what to do. Now go and do. And I think that's the big thing for those listening. It's like, okay, now you don't just be a hearer of this. Yes. Go and do it. Like, do it for yourself. Like, if we all acted on this and we all started fighting, we'd all be so much furthering on accessing God's promises.
Absolutely.
And I think to finish it, you know, you encouraged us as a church, and I think you'd encourage the girls listening to walk the narrow path, because actually the series is uncommon.
Yes.
And when you think about 10 people went to the same thing, two, they were uncommon.
That's
two
right.
had the right way of thinking. So for the girls listening, you know, it's about choosing that narrow path, and it isn't always easy.
No.
What do you think? How do you think we can be better at picking the narrow path when everyone else is going one way and it seems right because everyone's doing it, but you just have an inkling in you that that's not God's way?
It's such a common way of thinking. If the majority are doing it, it must be right. Well, the majority of the Israelites walked away and it was the wrong thing to do. And so just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to use the word of God as our yardstick. And so let me just read this scripture. Matthew 7, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Mm-hmm. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it."
Mm-hmm.
And really what that is saying is, there's a way that the world lives. There are standards that the world has, and that is the many, the majority. So the narrow gate is through the word of God. That's how you find the narrow gate. If what I'm doing and the way I'm living my life doesn't marry up to the word of God, like, I need to get through the narrow gate. It's the uncommon way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because the world says this is how you date, you know, it's okay to sleep around. This is what we do. You're supposed to spend your youth trialing out these different things, experimenting. Just because everybody does it doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah.
You only get one life. So do you want to just do trial and error like everybody else? Or do you want to look after the life you've been given and go through the narrow gate? And going through the narrow gate can be lonely.
Yeah.
And going through the narrow gate means the crowd can't always go with you. In fact, the crowd will probably laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a narrow gate way of doing your marriage, which is different to the world. There's a narrow gate way of doing your finances. It's different to the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a narrow gate way of just doing friendship. There's a narrow gate way of You know, even what you started off this conversation by saying, and how you, when you have a dinner party and you entertain people and you have people around the table and you go around and you look for a praise report. Hey, let's say something good. Let's talk about this week, this month, this year. What was good? What's been great? What? That's narrow gate living. That's uncommon for people to sit around a dinner table and do that. And so the narrow gate is there, but you have to choose it. And then you have to choose it and go, actually, I'm choosing it because I want my kids to make the same choices. I'm choosing it because I want it in my marriage. I'm choosing it because there's a generation looking alongside. I'm choosing it because I don't want to live my life trying to please everybody else, doing what everybody else is doing. In my personal opinion, normal doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking at the world right now. It's a broken place. Yeah. Normal doesn't work. Normal is getting weirder.
Yeah, it's true.
Literally getting weirder. Mm. And so I want to find the narrow way. And so I keep taking myself to the word of God every day.
And it's exciting. I get excited about the church at the moment. You know, I think people are starting to realize that normal isn't working.
Totally.
That life without God, you know, they thought it was, that's the right way and it's just not working. And they start coming through church and seeing a different way and they're like, wow, it's working for them.
Absolutely.
And I want that. So, hey, what a great podcast today. I've loved picking your brains from that message and getting all the wisdom. Thank you for encouraging the girls to always fight for the life that God has given them.
Of course.
I've loved it.
Of course.
But girls, have a great week. Tune in next week. You're in for an absolute treat. We have a Mother's Day special and we have a very, very special guest. I know you're going to love her. So tune in next Wednesday, but have a great week.